Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to quantum think again. We're back into the quantum world. We always are in the quantum world, but this is an awareness show of being in the quantum world, awarely. And to do that, I again have the author of the book, Do You Quantum Think, on the line with us, Diane Collins. Diane, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Welcome to everyone listening, and it's always great to be with you.
Thank you. And we're going to quantum think again and help everybody find their quantum reality.
Sounds good.
It's so interesting that we live in a quantum reality, and most of us just don't know it.
That's exactly the case we have today, because fundamentally, we are all, we're all accustomed to living in what we would call the industrial age worldview. So what does that mean? You know, that was kind of like from the 17th century when scientists thought of the world, as of the universe, as machine-like, as full of solid objects, and only physical matter was real. And so our whole orientation is around the ordinary five senses, and which have to do with the physical world, since they put everything else on the side, you know, spiritual domain, the energetic domain, the subtle energy domain. We don't really know much about how the cosmic principles that operate throughout the universe also operate in us. So what do we know today about the quantum world? As I say, we're in a quantum world, but we're still living as if we're in the industrial age and thinking that way, and we don't even know it, as you point out. So the quantum world, it's all different. It's all energy in flux. It's all whole systems. It's all multidimensional.
And yet we're educated, conditioned to not be aware of that. We're conditioned to think on the surface. And even science still thinks that all that exists is in our mind, in our superficial mind.
Yeah, and this is really, you're bringing out, Peter, the what I consider, and I think, you know, most leading edge people who think according to the new worldview of quantum, quantum land, is that the biggest shift, the biggest leap from the old worldview of the industrial age to the new worldview of the quantum age is that how we create reality. Reality is fundamentally consciousness-based, mind-based, not based in matter. So what you're saying is so true, because there are so many scientists, and I've spoken to some of them directly and asked them about this, who think, for example, that the brain, which is a physical, well, it's really, you know, electrical, but it's, let's say, it has physical matter to it. We even call it brain matter, right? That consciousness is derived from the brain, where you and I'm sure, would agree that we realize that the brain is like a transmitter. So if you look at if you use the metaphor of the internet is like mind, and the computer is like the transmitter of mind, of intelligence, energy, awareness.
So there's a hardware and a software.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're really talking about when you think about, you know, well, what is it, what do you mean, you know, quantum thinking, what is it, how do we do that? Well, it's like there comes a time in the life of an operating system in a computer when the new software can no longer run on it. So,
wait a minute.
Right?
Wait a minute. That means we have to cut out our brains because we can't think in the way that our brains have allowed us to in the past.
Well, you don't cut out your brain, but what you do is you begin to utilize those parts of the brain. You know, what is a brain really? It's a matter of connectivity. It's connections, right?
But it's also learned connections. And it's programmed by us through our conditioning, through our early growth, just being infants and absorbing language, absorbing behavior, and then through school. And there's so much in that has created patterns of thought and control that we base our survival on.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing. Everything you're saying, of course, is the case. The interesting, discovery, let's say the quantum discovery about the brain, you're right. We have the patterns, and, I use the term from science, least action pathway. The way the energy goes, right, the connection is made, because it's been that route before, and it literally... These learned, thought patterns and behaviors that you're referring to do create these neural patterns in the brain. But right. The interesting and the great thing about brain, what we know from brain science today, is that when you make a new connection, first of all, you can interrupt those least action pathways. You can do that consciously with an awakened awareness. Second, I'm saying that. They're not saying that, but I'm saying you can, and of course, we know from experience that we do that. But the thing about it is when you introduce something new into the brain field, the field of the brain, what happens is it is a holographic shift. It shifts the whole of the brain. So what you're talking about, the survival, when we go into something like doubts, fears, worries, those automatic thoughts that we're not consciously choosing. Because if you were consciously choosing, I'm sure you wouldn't choose a worry thought. And this throws us into the part of the brain, the rear brain, which is the survival brain, as you know. So what we're talking about is the new part of the brain, the front of the brain, is the part that gets activated the more we heighten and expand our consciousness, our awareness.
All right. Now, that's great, and that's what your book is about, is showing methods of readdressing what we know, what we hear, our responses, readdressing them in a larger picture way.
Exactly.
And yet there's a war going on, not only in our own minds for survival, saying, how do we know? We can't do it this way. I there's so many times when, because I use my intuition a lot, and I use it professionally. I advise people using my intuition. And it's so many times, there's so much nervousness around, do I allow knowing and understanding things that I wouldn't know otherwise? And our survival mechanism says, no, stick to the surface, stay on the surface, judge everything according to, these five senses and the here and now and the past let's create fear around it. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for me. There are a lot of times when I worry about things and I inquire in higher consciousness, is there anything to worry about? And I go, I hear, no, there's not. And I go, I don't believe you. How can you say that? But look on the surface here. Do you see there's plenty to worry about? And I must say that this higher consciousness seems to be much more correct than my limited mind.
Thank goodness, right?
Right.
Well, the thing about it is that I call this a mastery practice. Because, and as, saying in my book, mastery, why would you choose anything else, right, but a life of mastery? And I know your classes are about that, too. So in mastery, it really is a moment-by-moment proposition. And what happens is these least action pathways, you know, these automatic ways of being, and I'm making up, actually, saying that it comes from the old world scientific view, which is called literally the classical mechanical worldview. So,
but it's
mechanical.
Also, Diane, it's also, there's so many structures in life that want us to stay on these least action pathways. There are all kinds of fundamentalist ideas in the world, and even in politics. And it's now that there are people out there asking candidates to sign pledges of not making any changes, of not allowing any negotiation, no room for anything new. They have to pledge to hold on to the old.
Right. And this is what's happening now. Now, when you look in the bigger picture, you know, and this is a very important point you're bringing out, because, you know, what is quantum think is I really have distinguished a system of thinking that is based in quantum principles that is aligned with all universal spiritual wisdom of every, you know, that is the core wisdom of every tradition, as you know. So when you look at it, what is one of the principles, one of the distinctions, is moving from a world of either or to a world of both and. And what does this mean? You know, scientists, from a scientific view, they realized particle and wave. What is reality, a particle or a wave? Well, it's both. So, and we know that at some point in history, we needed to really try to control, you know, predict and control the way things would go. So how did that map on to thinking? Quantum think is not about science. It's about how the discoveries of science shape the way we think. So we've been literally shaped. All of our institutions are shaped by this either-or mechanism. So we have the two-party system. We have conservative, progressive. We have the old and the new. So we know now we're in a time of an evolutionary leap. And what has to evolve now is consciousness, because we've reached the limits, and you see it as what you're referring to, every day in pick any government, as I say, but let's just look at the United States as the, you know, the blaring example right now, where the old is, the people are trying to hang on to the old so tightly because we haven't yet created a larger overarching context in which everyone can, you know, not to be trite, but win, where everyone can win. So you can see the politicians, they really are stuck in the least action pathway of the culture of politics, which is all about getting elected and all about being able to raise enough money from your constituency to make sure that you get elected. And so they're not really looking in the larger picture.
Right. They're actually promoting the least action pathway. And yet, I do talk to people who are caught in that, and I wonder, what is going on? And what it is that they don't trust anyone in the world to be true, to be awake, manage things in a way that people can prosper. So many people think that the world is corrupt, thinking is corrupt, and most people are operating not only least action pathway, but the lowest action pathway.
the lowest common denominator.
Way below the line. And we see it constantly. And I was talking to someone about education who wanted to kill the education system. And I said, well, that's not good because we need to keep teaching. And she said, Well, but teaching stinks. Schools stink. They're not teaching kids appropriately, so why should we have it? But that doesn't mean you kill it off. It means that we need to keep waking people up.
Exactly.
And maybe, you know, that's why a lot of people are predicting next year sometime there'll be a consciousness shift on this planet that will wake up a lot more people, and maybe, you know, everybody then can use your quantum thinking book to help guide them in their new world of consciousness.
Exactly. I mean, this is what I, you know, the book came through me, as I said. I didn't choose quantum thinking, it chose me. You know, I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I think I'll create a new system of thinking. Somehow it came about through my own inquiry of how are we going to raise consciousness on the planet. Since I was a teenager, I thought that was the only way, is to literally, get out of this veil of the illusion of, you know, this three-dimensional, very limited reality. So what you're talking about is we don't, you know, what I'm saying is let's not wait until December 21st, 2012. This happens right now, because one of the things we know about the nature of reality, according to the quantum knowledge, is that there is no separation between the inner and outer. So there is a distinction that we see in the physical, but no actual separation. So the inner state determines the outer reality. So when we look at where do we begin here? Well, we really need to take a literal quantum leap in consciousness. And that's instantaneous. All the time our mind, you know, the thought is splitting from thought to thought to thought. Those are little mini quantum leaps, but they're not consciously chosen.
Right, but then...
And they're not systemic. They're not of the whole system. So when you start to condition your own thinking to think from the whole, you know, it starts with each one of us individually. Like what you're saying about this person who wants to get rid of the education system, because that's the either-or mechanism, again, clicking in. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's like medicine works that way. There's a problem with your arm, cut it off, you know, cut it out. And we're not looking to see what is the source of the problem in the education system. How can we have the, and, you know, when you're looking from a new worldview, you look from a mastery perspective, what is best and what will work now?
But, so Diane, then you sit down with all these least action pathway people and say we have to change things. And then what?
No, but you see, you don't, that's the thing. Now, this is where I have a distinction, which is called transformation as distinct from change. And, I like to paraphrase this quote from Buckminster Fuller, which he says, you don't change anything by trying to fight the existing system. To change something, create a new model that will work now. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
No, but so, it makes a lot of sense. And I want to come back to this whole idea of working in this quantum view. And what you said is that it's a quantum leap to go into a quantum understanding. And what I see your book, the value of your book, is then how to use a quantum understanding. In other words, we can't wake up everybody all of a sudden, and maybe they will wake up in some way, form, whatever. You work with a lot of corporations, so there are people in corporations who start to behave differently, speak differently, interact differently, and that can be very contagious. So I think a lot of it might be contagion.
Well, it is, because we exist in fields. So if you understand, I call them for short quantum fields, But what is a quantum field? You know, we don't realize where, how are we connected? I spoke a minute ago, in the physical domain, we look separate. And this is where, you know, the differences and all the conflicts come in. Because we've been living in a reality system that says we're separate. But you and I know that everything and all of us are interconnected. You know, we're on this earth. The earth is a living being and who's hosting our lives. And so, you know, but because of the separation consciousness, people are, you know, trashing it and doing everything and who knows what to it, not realizing, hey, wait a minute, I'm, you know, damaging my own life here. So when you look at the idea of fields and how we influence one another through the field, and it, you can feel it. It's very simple. You know, you walk into a room and people have just been arguing there and you can feel it. I know, of course, you can because you're highly sensitive, intuitive. But any of us can. That's a pretty obvious thing. So you realize that from a quantum worldview, when you start to learn about the nature of a field, what is it? It's a field of intelligence, of connectivity, of energy, of awareness, and that the core principle in quantum physics is the observer effect. In quantum think system, I call it observer-created reality. What does it mean? Well, we used to think, you know, from a physical standpoint, you look outside, everything looks separate. You know, we look separate from each other and the earth and all the objects around us. But from a quantum standpoint, it's that how we, what we bring to what we're observing, not just seeing, but we can use the word observation to mean what we hold in our awareness, in consciousness, in any given moment. What we hold in awareness is our reality. Like right now, wherever your mind is, whatever you're thinking of this moment, whatever you're, you know, interpreting between this conversation, between the two of us, for the people listening, is your reality right now. So what does that mean? That means that what I say it very simply, what you bring is what you get. What scientists realize is that whatever they were attempting to measure, the instrument of observation was always shaping what was being seen. So there was never any objectivity about it. There was never, you couldn't, you know, the uncertainty principle of Heisenberg. You couldn't measure the velocity, the speed, and the location of an energy particle at the same time. Well, why not? Well, because reality is energy in flux. So this is the good news for us, because again, mapping it onto us and our thinking. That means, and this is how we have used it, we all, you know, with the people who we are coaching and consulting with in corporate life and everywhere else in our public programs, that when you become aware, very simply, of the judgments and conclusions you've made, for example, about a person that you're about to go into a meeting with, and you realize, fundamentally, there are no absolutes, realities, maybe the divine, but I'm talking about for human beings, and you realize those thoughts that you have, these conclusions you've reached about the person is not, are not the truth.
Right.
Then you can create a new intent and you will shift that relational field. And all, everything that derives from your relationship with that person forever transforms.
Well, I think as soon as you're not stuck in your own opinion, opens up new doorways, because your mind can have opinions about what other people are thinking or doing or planning, and it could be totally wrong. And then we behave as if they're going to act that way, and we then find out that they never intended to. And they had their own opinions about
or
us.
Or that they do. Look at
about
the
us.
Right. Look at the studies that, you know, have been done, I think, a long time ago in Columbia University, probably all over the world, with students where, you know, it's like the old, almost like the Pygmalion effect, but we're updating it by really learning, you know, how these principles work from just a simple application of science to your own mind. But they used to, you know, they would take a group of teachers and they'd have a group of students that were so-called, you know, behind learners, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
And they would say, these are gifted students. And so the teachers would then approach that classroom of students and start to relate to them as if they're gifted. And guess what?
They are.
There you go. The students excelled. So this is why I say observer-created reality. What does it mean? What you bring is what you get. And it's not even a question of whether your opinion is right or wrong. You can even go beyond that and say it's outside the domain of right or wrong, because if reality is context-dependent, what you bring is what you get. You look from, is it working? If it's not working, whatever your view is, what can you create, and using the principle, the power of intent, for the relational field between you and another person that will actually shape that field, just like the teachers with the students?
But I want to come back to that, what you said about not working. When we look at something and we say this isn't working, we might not know any better. It might be working just fine, but it doesn't meet our expectations.
Well, yes, because if you're talking really at the, you know, the highest spiritual, you know, the most expansive spiritual level, where we all, you know, go around saying it's all perfect exactly the way it is. But this is where, and so there is something to that. However, all the spiritual masters have said, wake up. So what I think is that being in the, you know, you could be in the oblivion of, oh, well, it's all perfect, you know, so what if we're killing, you know, 6 million
No, I don't mean it that way, but I mean that sometimes, you know, we take two steps forward, then we take one step backward, and we're upset about that one step backward, but it enables us to take the next two steps forward.
Exactly, because, but what I'm getting to is that when you're awakened thinking, awakened consciousness, so that you can distinguish what you were just distinguishing, Peter, that maybe it appears, and this is part of, by the way, thinking holistically and holographically from the perspective of all perspective is another quantum thing principle, is that what you're saying exactly right. You can't see all the outcomes of this step backwards, but what you can know that because it will be consistent with your consciously generated intent,
right,
that event,
trust
it's
then.
Working
then trust,
itself out.
Right, trust our intention. I love that, and we have more to talk about that, but we're almost out of time. Diane Collins, the author of Do You Quantum Think, how can people find you?
You can find me on my website at www.DianeCollins.com, and it's D-I-A-N-N, two N's in Diane, E, and the last name is C-O-L-L-I-N-S. DianeCollins.com is my new website, and there you'll also find that my husband, who's my business partner, and I, are Alan Collins, are conducting twice monthly a free study group. I call it Ultimate Study Group for any readers of Do You Quantum Think, so you'll be able to sign up for that too.
Sounds great. That's wonderful. And we do have more quantum thinking to do together, don't we?
Yes, we do. I love our conversations because you really can bring things very, you know, very deeply and very in a practical, worldly manner at the same time for people. And I just
Thank
love
you.
That about you, Peter.
Thank you. We are in one conversation.
Yes, we are. To be continued.
One of your
right?
distinctions. Yes. Thank you so much, Diane Collins.
Thank you. All the best.
You too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.